Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. QT and Sign Guy with you as normal. Real quick, before we jump into the interview, some show notes for you. If you were looking for wrestling, tonight you have WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, like usual. IWA Mid-South running in Connersville at the Axel Rotten Memorial Arena. Tomorrow night, Emerge Wrestling returning for the first time since March with Gregory Iron on the bill. That is in Trafalgar, Indiana, new location for them. Wrestle Club will be live streaming from the brand new Wrestle Club Arena in Caldwell, Idaho. NWP in Terre Haute, Indiana. Supreme Wrestling in Madison, Indiana. ACW in Port Richey, Florida. TCW in Ocean Gate, New Jersey. PCW in Columbia, South Carolina. Rockstar Pro in Dayton, Ohio. IWA in Indianapolis, Indiana, and DCCW in Muncie, Indiana. Without further ado, I want to welcome back our guest. It's been a very, very long time since he was with us. Mr. Incredible, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how you doing, man? I appreciate you having me on the show, reaching out in these crazy times. And thank you for having me on the show, for real.
Oh, absolutely. Glad to have you on here. Now, for people that might remember your previous visit here, you are out of the North Dakota area. Now, one of our few guests we get from North Dakota on this show. But in the last few years, I know North Dakota's wrestling scene has sort of grown a bit. There's been a couple promotions move into the area there. What can you tell us about what the wrestling scene was like right before things got crazy in 2020? What was the scene when we were still normal?
The scene was actually starting to grow. A lot more promotions are starting to basically rev their engines, get ready for everything to go back to normal. But right now, the one promotion that I exclusively work for is Cloud9 Wrestling. It's basically, I don't know if you remember, Fully Loaded Wrestling. It's all of us from Fully Loaded Wrestling. And just a different promotion, different promoter, and we just keeping the same energy. And then there's the promotion out of Bismarck, Elite Initiative Wrestling. They've been going on since, I don't know, forever, and they're still going on right now. You were saying before we came on the air, one of your guys that you know came up here and wrestled for them. And then just last weekend, I got to wrestle for another promotion out of Fargo. That would have been, the show's name was Pufflemania. It was actually a cancer benefit, which, you know, anytime you can do anything good for somebody, you want to get involved with that. And it was a fun time. The guys, they really liked it. The turnout was actually surprisingly good with the times that's going on right now. And that's pretty much really what's going on. But it's two to three more promotions than we normally have. Normally, it's just one going on steady, and then you might get the spot shows here and there. But it's good that wrestling is around the area, and it was actually surprising to see so many people last weekend come out to that show and want to watch wrestling, and it felt good. But that's pretty much what's been going on out here throughout the pandemic.
North Dakota is in the upper Midwest, and as people that might be familiar with that part of the country, it can get very dicey as far as the weather goes in the winter months. Usually a good bit of snow in that area. Obviously, you're not going to have too many outdoor venues going in North Dakota in the winter, but I'm sure in the summertime there are shows held outdoors, as are in large portions of the country. Do you enjoy getting the opportunity when you can to wrestle at the outdoor venues, and do you think that just in general North Dakota is able to take advantage of outdoor venues, or is it something you don't see much of in your part of the country?
Actually, during the summer, if there's a promotion, and I advise any wrestler that wants to come out and wrestle, we normally do the county fairs. So during the county fairs, there's a lot of outside shows. I actually enjoy doing outside shows because it's less muggy. You can breathe a little bit better. But the one thing that does hinder outside shows, and we actually did a Cloud Nine Wrestling did an outside show during the pandemic for Botno, North Dakota, for their county fair. And the one thing that sucks is North Dakota has spotty weather. So in one spot, it'll be pouring down raining. And in another spot, just maybe 5 miles down the road, it'll be 100 degrees. And whenever it does that, normally every show that I've been on outside, it rains like heavy, and then the sun beats down because there's no trees out here. So the sun will beat down on the ring, and it's just, it's the worst experience. It's like having hot spotlights on top of you times 10. And then the wet, and it's muggy, and it's horrible. But I actually do like the outside shows a little bit more because, you know, being outside, you can, like I said, it's not so hot. It's not so immediate hot. You may get a couple wind gusts, especially out here, and it's not as bad when it's just beautiful weather. But when it's spotty weather and it's raining one place and sunny the other, and then it switches, it can get really messy out there, so to say.
One of the people we discussed the last time you were here is still fairly active in your region. You have a very, very long history with him, and he will be on this very program 2 weeks from today, that being Baron Corbin. I know the two of you have an extremely long past together. What's the current situation between yourself and Baron Corbin?
Well, me and Baron Corbin go way back. Baron was around when I first got into the wrestling business. And as much as I hate Baron, I actually respect him because he has been around for so long. I actually looked up to him when breaking into wrestling and watching his film, wrestling in Chikara, wrestling all over the world. And he is a special talent. But right before Fully Loaded Wrestling, went under, and now we work with Cloud9 Wrestling. Me and Darren got to put a closure to our storybook, and let's just say I went on to be Fully Loaded Wrestling heavyweight champion, and Baron Corbin went on to just beat Baron Corbin, and I do miss beating him up quite a bit. I do miss what I like to say, knocking his head off. But we really haven't really crossed any paths as of late. I think it's been almost a year since me and him have crossed paths. So it was fun for me. I'm pretty sure he hates me, and he has all the scars to prove it.
Now, as someone that has seen Baron Corbin for all these years, and you've seen the ups and the downs with him, he is still cranking out a lot of content on YouTube and so forth, still trying to be active, even though there's not live shows right now. What have you thought of the way Baron Corbin has been trying to maintain relevance even in these unusual times?
To be really, really honest, me and I don't know if a lot of people know, but my brother from a different mother, Blake Broadway, now known as JJ Blake, out in Texas. He, me and him have these long conversations about wrestling, right? We like to sit around and talk about wrestling, what's good, what's not good to us. And sometimes he's like, man, we should just record ourselves and just see if people will listen, because if you really think about it, our perspective is kind of unheard with, you know, from the, it's always been a lot of, and not being racist or anything, but it's always a lot of Caucasian people speaking on the wrestling business and stuff. And you don't really hear a lot. I think Mark Henry does his podcast. You don't really hear a lot of the African-American perspective on professional wrestling. And I think that, some people might like to hear that. So me and him, we have these long conversations, and we always talk about we should just record ourselves and let people listen and comment and say what they got to say. And maybe it'd be fun. Maybe it hasn't been fun. It may not be fun for anybody to hear it. And I do a lot, like during the quarantine, I been playing a lot of video games, honestly. And I do my we have our Madden League, and I do that. I've been coaching sports, so I've been out, you know, they got the kids being able to play sports since August. So I've been coaching football, getting ready for the basketball, for the Y. And that's really all I've been doing. But I do think that wrestling-wise, it'll be fun to let people in and hear my loudmouth brother and me kind of give a little bit of different perspective on how we see wrestling. I don't know. It might be fun. It may not.
One of the places that you would go to on a at least somewhat regular basis was Canada, and a lot of times wrestlers will notice there's a difference between Canadian fans and American fans as far as what they like in wrestling, how they react to different things. When you go to Canada to wrestle, do you personally notice differences in the fan base between there and wrestling in the States?
Absolutely. One of the biggest shockers for me was I feel like Canadian fans have legitimately held on to the 90s, right? And they enjoy wrestling on that level of wrestling. Some of them may be smart marks. Some of them may just be Hulkamaniacs or, you know, John Cena fanatics or whatever. But they absolutely love it. They come out to the shows. They support their local promotions to the utmost. I'm talking about there's been times where I've wrestled in front of 500 people. And it's just an indie show. How many times do you get an opportunity to wrestle in front of 500-plus people on an indie show? And they're all rabid. They're all going crazy. Where, especially out here in Minot, because we're just wrestling, it comes and it goes. So you got to keep retraining the mind on what professional wrestling is. So it's harder to keep the fans being that rabid in the every, what, a lot of times the shows was like every other month. So, like, it'd be the same 500 people every other month. And they're paying that hard-earned money to come watch, and that's special. Where, you know, in North Dakota, not so much. They may come once every other month. You know, they may come 1 month, and then 3 months later they'll come to the next show, but you've had like two shows in between there, so you know it's not the same. But they're definitely a great mixture, and they're able to, with the smart marks and the just I like wrestling. I still believe that it's real. I hate Mr. Incredible. You still have those fans, and they all get together, and they just make for an amazing environment to wrestle in front of. I actually miss wrestling in front of Canada because of just that, you know, because even like when you do the towns that may not get to see wrestling at a regular basis, once you get them going, it's like you got them forever. And it may be a little bit more harder here, and I don't really know why it's so hard. Maybe it's because we do, a lot of people in America, they got a lot of stuff going on, so it's harder for them to let someone else than disbelief for them. So, but in Canada, they're willing to just say, forget it. I'm about to go out here and have a ton of fun. I'm going to cheer. I'm going to boo. I'm going to believe for that moment. And they just have a ton of fun. And it's a great, if you get a time to go out to a Canada show, please do so. Especially for like one of the big promotions, it's a sight for anyone to see.
You mentioned a little bit ago about coaching sports. Is training younger wrestlers something that you very often do? And have you been getting more inquiries about that sort of thing since the wrestling world's been on a bit of a hiatus?
Not so much. I like working with younger kids and coaching them in sports and stuff like that. I'll say this. I would love to work with younger guys and really get them to, you know, get on their feet, because my background is very unique, and it's a crazy little story where I wasn't trained the same way everybody else was. I didn't take $6,000 and give it to one guy and go to his building for 6 months. I actually had a lot of on-the-job training. I was trained what a lot of people say in the old school way. Somebody sees something in you, they start to teach you a little bit of stuff, they start to let you get beat up by a heel, and you just learn as you go. You know, that's kind of how I broke into business. And I would like to show people that, like, it's a lot more than just doing moves. Wrestling is very, it's very broad in what it really is. It's not just a performance art. It's not just going out there and being a different character. It's not like a movie or anything. It's a lot of different things. And I would love to help people, but the thing that kind of keeps me from it is it's hard to, like, when I work with my kids, they want to learn what you're teaching them. When you're dealing with adults, sometimes the ego gets in the way. And even though you're telling them the right thing, they still don't want to learn what you're telling them. And it's hard. And I just, that's kind of why I've been working with kids a whole lot more now, because I'm trying to get that understanding of how I can break through a young mind when I'm teaching them about wrestling, to get them to understand, because I have a guy that I work with and stuff, and it's so hard for me to get him to understand that it's not about winning and losing. It's not about what moves you can do in the ring. It's about entertaining the fans and going out there and suspending disbelief that you're trying to hurt the person that you're standing across from. And sometimes it's hard. But if I take my son, or if I take my basketball team or my football team, and I teach them that, oh, they're going to take that word as one. Like, that's going all the way with them. And it's just, it's hard to teach adults that, because their minds don't think like that. They know what wrestling, they believe that they know what wrestling is. And it's hard to change them, to get them to see what's going to change you from being just a guy on the card to being, oh, that's the man. We need to keep looking at him. He's special. You know, it's hard to teach him that. But if I could get, you know, 2-3 kids, get a nice ring out here, and they really want to listen and get to that point, absolutely. I would help them in a heartbeat.
One of the things that a lot of people in the wrestling business have done during the time off is try to upgrade their appearance. A lot of people have been working to change, like, their physical look, be it bulk up, slim down, change the hair. A lot of people ordered new wrestling gear, so when they came back, they had a bit of a different look to them, try to take advantage of the time to come back with a bit of a cosmetic upgrade. Have you done anything as far as getting new gear or trying to change the look in any way, or have you just decided to come back full steam ahead in the same look you had?
No, I've definitely, You may know him, Eric Cannon. He told me something a long time ago, right when Fully Loaded Wrestling was getting on the go. He said, Q, he said, that's my nickname he has for me. He says, Q, man, I've seen you the same way since you first got in the business. And you've done more, than what a lot of people would do. There's some people that won't even go out and buy gear. So I commend you for it. But sometimes time for you to have some different colors, some different looking stuff, just change it up just a little bit, and that's going to set you different. So when time came, Cloud Nine opened up, I said, okay, I'm going to get some new gear. And right when right during that time, I've been working, you know, with the kids and stuff. And of course, you gotta get in the gym if you want to do this long term. So I've been getting in the gym. The quarantine and everything, it's been a little bit of a hamper. You can still do at home, but I like to pick up heavy weights as I'm always in the ring with somebody bigger than me. So I like to pick up the heavy weights. So that's kind of been a little slow. Minot is starting to open up their gyms a lot more, and you can go into the regular areas and use the regular equipment now. So I'm definitely getting back on that. But that's really kind of what I've been doing. I bought this gear. I think you actually have a picture of it. And what I did is I bought it slightly too small so I can push myself in the gym to lose some weight. I want to get down to a movable size. I don't want to just be known as the big black dude or something. I want to be able to move around, you know, a little bit better. So I've been working on that, and I got the new gear, and every time I try to put it on, if it fits, I'm like, okay. If it doesn't fit, that means, okay, I got to go harder in the gym.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I'm sure he has questions, so I'm going to pass things along to him for a bit.
Well, thank you, Sungai. Hello, Mr. Incredible.
What's going on, QT?
Hey, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Incredible, I saw your YouTube video entitled Mr. Incredible versus the Vampire Warrior Gangrel, and this took place for Fully Loaded Wrestling. Mr. Incredible, when Gangrel made his entrance and finally entered the ring, well, he actually stood on the ring apron. He took a drink from a goblet and spit blood into the air. After he spit blood, he looked over at you, and you bailed out of the ring at the 1 minute and 26 mark of the video, and 26 second mark of the video. My question is, he could not do this in today's COVID-19 era, unless he spit directly into a biohazard container while he himself was wearing a hazmat suit and welder's helmet with lifelike rubber tubes leading to the hazmat container. If he did this today, would you still have bailed out of the ring as he looked over at you if he had that biohazard suit on? That's my question.
If he would have came out with the biohazard suit, I probably would have left. If you know Gangrel, I've watched Gangrel since I was a kid. I was literally petrified of his character as a kid. And to be in that ring in that moment, it actually was like, man, my grandma told me never to get in the ring with this guy. And here I am in the ring with this guy. I'm hoping that he doesn't bite me. I'm hoping that he doesn't spit that blood all over me. So, yeah, if it's today, I'm probably, as soon as I see the hazmat, I know what's coming, so I'm getting out of there.
Wow. Okay. Now, did your grandma happen to see this video on YouTube?
No. Well, she saw it in her afterlife. I'm sure she's happy that I got to wrestle some of the guys that I've wrestled. And me and her both have sat down and watched when I was a kid. But, yes, he passed away in 2005. So, but she still watched it and probably laughed at me.
Well, all right. Okay. Well, Mr. Incredible, in that video with Gangrel, at the 2 minute and 54 second mark, Gangrel extended his hand to you in a show of sportsmanship after you and he locked up like two North Dakota buffalo and neither of you could score a takedown or take advantage leverage-wise. Gangrel may have realized that you were both evenly matched in stature. By video analysis, I'm going to say you are 6'2" and 221 pounds, or at least at that time you were. Where am I close?
Oof, you. I'm 6'1", but I like how you said I'm 6'2". We're going to go with that from now on.
Oh, okay. And I'm going to say you were a trim 221 pounds for that match because you may have cut about 5 pounds before the match.
Oh, yeah.
5 to 10.
Yeah. We're going with that all the way.
Good. At this moment, I'm going to ask Sign Guy to note that I only have 5 losses and 1 tie, and that was put on the line today, and I have 200 correct video analysis. Boy. I took a risk with you today, Mr. Incredible.
Yeah.
At least
guessing
your height and weight.
Hey, you're making me look good, so I like it.
Well, okay. Now, at this time, I'm going to ask if your dad had similar physical characteristics as you, and did you get your dad's physical genes or mom physical genes?
Actually, from what I know, yes, my dad was. I get my broad shoulders and my big arms. I've had these arms since I was a kid. I remember kids in elementary school saying, how does he have such big arms? But I get those features from my dad. Now, the athleticism I actually get from my mom. My mom was a track star. She was a basketball player. Volleyball. She actually ended up going to college and graduating as a counselor, school's counselor. So I get a lot of my from her, but my actual physical appearance I get from him.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now, you said your mom went out for track and field. Did she run the sprints like the 100 meters or 200 meters?
No, actually, my mom was a cross-country runner.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
Cross-country.
Yeah.
So she probably ran the 5,000 meters, which is 3.1 miles.
Right. She was – if you know my mom, she was very sickly. She has epilepsy. So for me, I always tell her, I was like, I need to see – the stats on these runs that you did. Because I can't imagine, because all of I know was my mom having epilepsy and diabetes and stuff like that and being kind of sickly. So it surprises me when my friends are like, yeah, your mom was a track star. I was like, what?
Wow.
It's awesome. That's who I get it from, and she's pretty mean, too, so that's where I get my mean streak from.
Oh, okay. So your mom had kind of the temperament. Would you say your dad was more of the cool cucumber-type person? Was he a calming influence on you?
Yeah, that would be him, the big old teddy bear, until my mom would walk in and then just snap. All of us kids.
Okay. Now, at any time during your childhood or maybe early teens, did your mom go out on a run and did you trail along on a bicycle to match her speed?
No. By that time, when I was born, she had already kind of fell ill with her epilepsy, and it was pretty bad at that time, actually. And she's fine now, but back then, you know, she was kind of – she still would always try to play basketball with me and show me techniques and stuff like that, but she couldn't really do much running at that time.
Okay. Okay. Well, how would you rate your mom as a three-point shot? Could she beat you in a three-point contest? That's what I'm asking.
Let's see. Back then, probably. She'd probably get at least two shots more than me, but, like, if we were playing one-on-one, I could take my mom. She wouldn't, because my mom is really skinny, and I still had that towering bruteness about me, so she wouldn't have been able – if I would have got her down on the post, she wouldn't have been able to handle it. Don't tell
oh,
her.
Okay. Well, Mr. Incredible, you spoke to Sign Guy earlier about outside shows. Have you ever
yes.
seen buffalo in the distance or maybe antelope in North Dakota while you're wrestling? Buffalo or antelope?
Actually, the buffalo, I think we had buffalo burgers. So I've seen that dead at one of the, like they just went out for this one county fair, and they killed a buffalo, and they just started cooking it that day. And then deer, yes. I have deer walking across my front lawn randomly. I don't know how they get in the neighborhood. I don't know why they're in the middle of a neighborhood, but, like, every morning and every night, there's deer that just walk around in the neighborhood like they own it. That and wild turkeys.
Well, wild turkey. Wild turkey.
Yeah, and they're gangster. That's a gang. You don't want to mess with them.
Oh. Well, now, speaking of wild turkey, you're not too much of a big fan of wild turkey, the whiskey, are you? Or the bourbon whiskey?
Oh, no, that'll knock you on your feet.
Wow.
You'll be out with me. I've seen too many people drinking wild turkey all night, not make it at the end of the night, or end up somewhere they don't want to be.
Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Incredible, you spoke of deer crossing your front lawn. I remember my dad speaking of going on these fishing trips in the hills of California when it was a lot populated, and the deer wouldn't seem to mind if you were carrying a fishing pole. They'd stick their heads up and watch you. But if you were carrying a gun, there wasn't a deer to be seen. I like that story.
Oh, that's hilarious. Absolutely. Yeah. The deer out here are very respectful. They don't just sit in the middle of the road and wait for you to kill them. But I just don't understand how they get into the neighborhood from all the fields and open space that they have all through North Dakota, and they just want to hang out next to somebody's house. I don't get it, so...
Well, they're known to be good high jumpers, and they can jump fences that are pretty high. Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Incredible, speaking of Buffalo, were you a fan of Chris Chavez or Tatanka, as he was known in the ring? He wrestled from 91 to 96 in the WWE and 2005 to 2007, and he was part of the Lumbee tribe. Were you a big fan of Tatanka?
Oh, absolutely. I actually, first time I seen Tatanka was right before the infamous WrestleMania where Tatanka would wrestle. I think it was Lex Luger.
Okay.
I think Lex Luger was the narcissist at that time. I think that was the WrestleMania where they were in the Roman gear and stuff. I can't remember what WrestleMania. I just remember it because Yokozuna versus Bret Hart and that whole thing. But that was kind of around the time that the first time I seen Tatanka, and me and my cousins, we loved Tatanka. And my cousins used to always try to give me the that his finishing move. I hate that move now to this day, but we all loved him. Back then, Tatanka, Ron Simmons, those were the guys that we all loved. We all picked who we was gonna be in my grandma's backyard, and those were the two that we always fought over who was gonna be who.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, how do you think Baron Corbin could have matched up with Gangrel if he took your place?
Well, I do know that Baron Corbin has wrestled Gangrel before, but I don't know what the outcome was. All I know is one time he wrestled Gangrel, and he was regular old Baron Corbin. And then after that match, he was homeless. So I don't really know if it went well for him or not. I know that Darren is a very crafty guy. He may have tried some of the stuff, but at the end, if you know, you watch the match, at the end of that match, we were just going at each other. And I don't think if Gangrel took Baron Corbin to that level, I don't think he could have beat him. And you can tell him when you talk to him, I don't think he could have beat him if they were going move for move, blow for blow. At the very end of their match, I don't know if he could beat Gangrel.
Wow, okay.
I don't know. I don't think that he could, because he would have to be really, really, really crafty. And I don't think he's more craftier than Gangrel. I'm just gonna put it out there.
All right. Okay. All right.
And I'm pretty sure he's gonna have something to say about it. But I'm just being honest about my experience and what I saw his experience was.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Incredible, sometimes you have kids at the junior high level or high school level who are far ahead of their age group physically, kind of like what you were in elementary school with your arms.
Right.
Several examples could be Kevin Love, who was 6'9", 230 pounds in high school, Bo Jackson back in the 80s, and Patrick Ewing, who stood nearly 6'11 in high school. Do you have any of these kids on your teams that you coach that are far step above physically but still in the same age group?
Yes. It's actually pretty ironic. So my first year coaching basketball, I'm coaching two brothers. The two brothers are the kids of the doctor who delivered my youngest son. So, like, we have, like, I love his kids, you know, just like any other kid, but, like, they're special, right? Because, you know, I appreciate them for what they did for my son, you know, or their father. And so I think he's the oldest. The oldest had a huge problem because I think we were coaching third and fourth grade basketball. and they lower the hoop at third and fourth grade. Well, he's almost my height. So he hated it. He literally hated it. He would go out there. He wanted to play. He was a hard player. But he hated it because the rim was so dropped so low. He just was like, man, this is too easy for me. Like, this is easy. So by the end of the – I think that team went undefeated. And by the end of the season, what he would do is he would just stand underneath the rim, grab the ball off the – you know, grab the ball off the rebound and just pass it to kids that hadn't made a shot yet. And that's why I give that kid so much more respect, because he could have just – like, there's times where he could have just took over the game and just destroyed whoever he played. But he cared more about getting everybody else involved and, like, making all the other kids happy, because they already knew that they were going to win, because – he could pretty much look at the rim almost. So he was a tall kid, and his family, his mother is tall, his dad is tall, his brother, his oldest brother and his oldest sister are both tall. The only one that wasn't tall was his little brother. So, like, watching them two, like, what he would go and he would give the ball to his little brother, let him shoot. And then if it didn't make it, he would get the rebound and he would pass it back until his brother would get a shot. And I just love seeing stuff like that to other brothers. And that's kind of how when we would play sports, or, you know, Blake is my wrestling partner. So that's how we work together. And I like seeing stuff like that. But him, I think even now, because I think we're going to coach him this year for the fifth grade, and I still think that he's going to be too tall for the rim. He's going to be a tall kid, and he's very talented at what he does. So I'm happy to work with him, and they love having me coach their kid, knowing that they were the parents that delivered my son. So it's crazy. Small
wow, okay. Well, Mr. Incredible, what faction would you rather have been part of if you could time travel back in time? What faction would you choose? The NWO with Hulk Hogan or Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen?
Kind of a no-brainer. I'm Flair country till I die. It has to be the Four Horsemen. I grew up off the Four Horsemen. I think that the NWO was more wow, like, what is going on over there? But the Four Horsemen, you knew if Ric Flair said you were going to get your butt kicked tonight, that something bad was going to happen to your favorite wrestler. And so that's you got to want to be a part of that. You got to want to be a part of that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Incredible, what were your thoughts on the Battle of the Billionaires when Donald Trump picked Bobby Lashley to face Vince McMahon and Umaga, the Samoan bulldozer? Do you believe Donald Trump's time in the wrestling ring helped him win over Hillary Clinton in 2016?
I do believe that there's a little bit of, because he has face recognition, and it really, until lately and now, it's kind of been associated with something positive, whether it be reality television, wrestling. If you know, Donald Trump's been a part of wrestling since WrestleMania 3. That's where WrestleMania, you know, the Trump International is where WrestleMania 3 was held. He's been a part of wrestling for a very, very long time, you know. So it's all his face and who he is as a person has kind of been surrounded by positivity. So I do believe that, like, with that, it did kind of help him because he didn't have nothing negative. People knew him as something different. Now we look at him a little differently, you know. He kind of looking kind of sus here and there. So it's not going so good. But you could say that. But, hey, people looked at him as the reality guy, all about business, all about making money. That's what the economy needed. So that's what, you know, what makes the world go around. So I could see people saying, you know what, I'm gonna give him a chance. I could honestly, and actually I've seen a lot of interviews from back in the day of people saying the same thing. A lot of African Americans, a lot of rappers and people in the entertainment industry, that's kind of what they were just tired of career politicians. So they gave this guy a shot. And here we are. Here we are.
I just wish I could travel back in time myself and, as a producer, arrange a match between Donald Trump, The Rock, and The Hurricane. That'd be huge.
Yes. Oh, that would have been classic.
All right. Well, Mr. Incredible, it's been great talking with you. And at this time, I'm handing it back over to Sun Guy.
Oh, thank you. It's good talking to you too, man.
Back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Incredible, one of the things we have not seen in a very long time in pro wrestling, in the United States at least, is a round system. The AWF was around in the late 90s on nationally syndicated TV, and they had a round system where the matches were divided into a series of three-minute rounds, and there was a bit of a point system in place. Do you think that in today's marketplace, with today's fan base, a round system is something that potentially could work in professional wrestling?
Absolutely. Actually, if you go back, I don't know if they're doing it this way now with the pure wrestling title, but ROH did it that way with the pure wrestling title. And they just brought back the pure wrestling title. And I don't know if it's still round based. I know they are doing points. I know they're doing the point system, but I don't know if they're doing the rounds. But absolutely, I think that brings a little bit more uniqueness to wrestling, and try to, like I said before, suspend disbelief and make it a little bit more legitimate, i.e. closer to UFC and boxing. I think, especially with some of the talent that we have, and a lot of guys that are coming in the wrestling business have a lot of MMA background. They have a lot of technical wrestling background. I think that it would be great to have some of those guys display their talents through what you're saying, that round-based, point-based system. I think that would have almost been something better that WWE could have done other than Raw Underground. Because it would have still been in the ring but it would have been under different rules. They could have had a block on television where two of your favorite technical wrestlers go at it under these new rules and see how it goes. I think people would have liked that. Because it's to me, what you're saying is kind of that pure wrestling title. It's that essence of what ROH was doing with that. And I used to like watching a lot of those matches. I think one of my favorite was Nigel McGuinness and Daniel Bryan. They wrestled for that pure title under those rules, and it was crazy.
Well, we have a few minutes left in our show today, and I want to give that time to you. If there is anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you'd like, social medias, any upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite laundromat, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Thank you, man. My social media, I'm really bad at it right now. I don't know why. I've let it go to the wayside. But I do be watching what's going on social media. I watch everything. I see everything. So once I can actually sit down and get my stuff back in order, there'll be something to look at and plug with that. You can find me on Mr. Incredible with a K under Facebook. But in all actuality, the only thing I want to say is once the world gets back to normal, please support independent wrestling just as much as you support the wrestling that you see on television. A lot of those guys have not been able to maintain through all of this, and they've had to kind of restructure themselves, and they're basically chomping at the bit for professional wrestling to get back to normal and fans to be in the audience, and they need that energy. They need that thrill ride, that shot of adrenaline. So please support them. Go to the shows. Buy their merch. Laugh. Cheer, boo, go have fun when everything is able to get back to normal. And other than that, I don't know. Let's just all pray that things get normal soon and we can go back to the regular scheduled program.
Absolutely. And we want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here one more time. We absolutely enjoy having you on the show. And when things get back to normal, hopefully we'll be able to see you on some shows, and maybe sometime we'll get you out here in the Northwest.
Oh, absolutely. And hopefully things go back, like I said, and I would love to go Northwest. If you ever got a spot that you need a big black guy that'll knock somebody's head off to fill, you know who to call. I'm always ready.
Bad Blood, I hope you were listening to that. But yeah, we would love to have you out here. Fans, definitely when things open up in the North Dakota area and also in Canada for CWE, look for Mr. Incredible on shows. He's very, very good. I think you will enjoy him. If he's facing Baron Corbin, watch out for the slow motion. So that could happen. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. This coming Sunday, we have with us the Northman, Ernie Olsen, young wrestler originally out of the Oregon area. He's relocated to Idaho, but join us for that. Be safe out there. If you have wrestling near you, go support it. Buy some merchandise. Support all the independents that are continuing to try to do their best, and we'll talk to you soon.
Once a minute.